Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, March 14th, 2016, which makes it Pi Day. And with me today, I have first up the person that I didn't even bother to ask if they could be on the show. I just started recording with them. Brian Chaffin, how are you?
I'm good.
And I'm glad that you're so flexible, because it occurred to me after we started the show, I really did just start the show with you here.
That's true. You never asked me if I could be on the show.
I didn't. So thank you for being a trooper, just sticking it out. Dave Hamilton, absolutely. How are you?
I am fantastic. Thanks to you for having me here.
Oh, sure. And thank you for being here. I did ask Dave to be on the show. So
you did.
Yeah. So at least one of you is here of your own choice. There's that.
Well, choice is an interesting word to use, but we are here.
Yes, we are all here. Speaking of choices, I figured the first topic we ought to hit today is something that looks like it could very easily tie into exactly the sort of issues Apple's having with the FBI. The Department of Justice is in the midst of a criminal investigation. They have sealed the case so that we don't know exactly what they're investigating. But part of that investigation included a warrant for a wiretap to be able to intercept the traffic going between certain people using WhatsApp, which is it's sort of like messages, but it's not messages because it's not from Apple, and it is encrypted end to end. So the Department of Justice has been intercepting this traffic through their lawfully obtained wiretap warrant. But they can't do anything with what they're intercepting because it's all encrypted. They want WhatsApp to shut off that encryption, and WhatsApp is saying, nope, not going to do it. So right now, we're in this stalemate where... No, it's not a stalemate. It's a holding pattern where we're waiting to see what the Department of Justice decides to do next, which could include asking the courts for an order compelling WhatsApp to either hand over their encryption keys or shut off encryption.
Yeah, and that's the difference between the Apple case. It could be the difference between the Apple case and WhatsApp, because if WhatsApp, i.e. Facebook...
WhatsApp, thank you.
I.e. Facebook holds the encryption keys... then they should turn this over to a warrant. The deal with Apple
they
is...
They could. The should is an interesting point, right? I mean, Dropbox has fought off many, many of these types of things. So it's not a clear-cut yes, definitely. It's a, wait a minute, okay, yes, we can do this. Should we? Mm-hmm. And there's a question there, right? I mean,
yeah, there's a big question there. And WhatsApp has apparently evaluated all the aspects of that question and come to the conclusion that they should not.
Yeah.
In all the hullabaloo over Apple, the big thing to me has been that that where Apple has fought this, it's been over end-to-end encryption, because that's a form of encryption that is very difficult to break. Mm-hmm. And what the FBI is asking them to do is create these tools that don't exist. It's essentially creating a version of iOS that has been stripped of its protections, and therefore it can become a target, a weak point in everybody's protections. But even Apple has handed over stuff in that, at least in that particular case, when it owned the encryption keys. when it held the encryption keys.
In some of those cases, yeah. And Apple publishes their data on that too, right? You know, when they've participated. But it's not 100%. It's not 100% of the requests that have turned into data. Again, just like Dropbox, there are two different discussions that we are probably accidentally commingling here. I mean, I get why we would commingle them, because there's all kinds of parallels here. It's all about personal security of your data. But, you know, this is data that is secure until a subpoena, whereas the Apple, the San Bernardino iPhone case is all about, well, it's secure, but only accessible from the device. So, as you pointed out, Brian, you know, it's a very different thing. But that doesn't mean that every single time a subpoena comes to one of these companies, or even just a request comes to one of these companies, that they should, without any further evaluation, just turn over the keys.
Right. And there's also a bit of irony in this case, because the encryption technology that WhatsApp uses was developed using a grant from the Open Technology Fund, which is something that the United States government created to promote these types of apps so that people in countries around the world would be able to have systems where they could communicate freely without fear of government surveillance and potential repercussions. And now our own government wants to go around that encryption. Now, granted, like you said, in this case, we're looking at a situation where WhatsApp presumably holds the keys, as opposed to Apple in the San Bernardino shooter case, where Apple clearly does not hold the keys and would have to make new tools that bypass their own security measures.
Right.
Yeah. So it will be interesting to see what happens in this case. Like I said earlier, my assumption is that the Department of Justice is waiting to see what happens on the 22nd when Apple and the FBI both appear in court to plead their side of the case. In Apple's case, why they shouldn't be compelled to create tools to help the FBI unlock an iPhone. And the FBI, why Apple needs to be compelled to do so.
It's still an apples and oranges comparison.
Right.
It's an apples and orange comparison, but it also could help an argument from the Department of Justice saying, look, we have a recent precedent, meaning the ruling on the 22nd, saying that we are in a position where we can compel companies to help us access encrypted information as part of criminal investigations, which, I mean, we already have all kinds of precedent to show this. So, but still, I think that the Department of Justice is waiting to see what the outcome of the hearing on the 22nd is before they craft whatever request for court order decide to go for.
This just in, they're using end-to-end encryption. Stays on the device.
Oh, really? Stays on the device.
So what is Apple, what is the DOJ asking them for? They're asking them for the keys that they don't have?
They are asking them to shut off encryption, which...
Oh, okay. So push a new version of the app that would no longer encrypt data end-to-end?
And, well, it's kind of vague right now exactly how they want WhatsApp to do this. But since it is full end-to-end encryption, it's not like they can hand over the keys. So this suddenly became a lot closer to what Apple is dealing with the FBI.
That makes more sense. But they're not asking about something retroactive. They're saying in the future we want to be able to, you know, poke at this data. So go ahead and turn off the encryption that we currently can't poke at. Yes. Right.
Yes.
Okay. Now, got it. Okay.
So now I'm saying that, and then I'm following the trail here. End-to-end encryption is only on the Android side. Is that true?
That would be interesting.
I don't know.
I don't know either. Still.
Yeah, iOS devices are not end-to-end encrypted.
Okay. And we don't know right now if it's an iPhone or if it's iPhone-to-iPhone communication or if there are Android devices involved somewhere in the communication chain.
And yeah, it's kind of interesting that they haven't brought that over to iOS. This has been, they've been doing this on the Android side since 2014.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
There's nothing about the iPhone that would prevent this.
No, it's just why bother having the you know, maintaining two different encryption protocols on two different platforms.
So right.
That's actually what I meant.
Yeah,
right.
That's odd.
Right.
Yeah. So, So now we wait and see, I suppose, because the Department of Justice hasn't said how they're going to proceed. But we do know that the team behind WhatsApp really wants to resist disabling encryption in any way in WhatsApp. And I totally get that because it would greatly reduce the value of the product for many people. And especially people that are using it in countries where they are genuinely concerned for their life if their communications were exposed. So my take on this is that we're going to see more companies hit with similar types of requests very soon. Because I think that the Department of Justice is just going to keep going after all of these little cases, or in the case of Apple, big cases,
yeah,
and try and build up their precedent through aggregation.
Right, because what they're not doing is asking Apple to disable end-to-end encryption in iMessage yet.
Yet, yeah, I think that's a key word right there.
Well, that's it. Is, you know, pick where you're going to start this battle. And way easier to not start it with Apple when you've already got a, you know, similar thing going on where Apple has already said, no, we believe in this. And, oh, yeah, hey, it's the same thing, guys. So, yeah, it's here. The frustration is you can go after apps one at a time and new ones will pop up all the time.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
including apps, certainly on for jailbroken iPhones or for probably for the Android
market. You can sideload anything onto Android. And actually, you can sideload stuff onto iOS pretty easily these days, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've said this on this show before. Creating what they're using for end-to-end encryption, public key infrastructure, is open source and extremely well documented, and that's part of why people feel safe using it, because there's nothing hidden, there's nothing proprietary about it, right? It's very open, it's very exposed, but the reality is it's almost impossible to break. But what that means is there's not a whole lot of engineering effort that needs to go into creating another app that encrypts things end to end. So if you block every single app in existence, the bad guys will know, A, don't use any of those apps because they don't support end-to-end encryption anymore. And B, let's just go write our own app with our own developer account and put it on our own devices and not even distribute it. So no one knows that we're using this app. They don't even know that it exists. And we can put it on all the devices we want, and we're good to go.
So in the end, the only people that would lose out on privacy through encryption would be the honest people that probably don't have anything they feel they need to hide from the government.
That's right.
No, but they need protection from the bad guys.
Right.
They need protection from the criminal hackers, the foreign agents, and potentially even financially motivated terrorists.
Yeah, or just financially motivated crooks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it depends on what data you're after. You know, if you want your bank passwords, well, okay, or your credit card numbers, and you've happened to send those over what you thought was a secure link, hey, guess what? Not secure. Got it. Thank you. You know, there's various levels of this, right? And some of them can just be inconveniences. Some of them can be catastrophic. But there's reasons we like to use encryption. And there's reasons we should be able to continue to do so, land of the free and all.
Right, land of the credit cards.
Yeah.
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 All right, well, I think we should talk about something a little more uplifting now, a little more fun.
Let's do it.
Okay. Dave, you wrote up an awesome piece this morning that I thought was wonderfully fun. And it was in honor of Pi Day, which is today.
Today is Pi Day. Yeah. So being 3/14, it's Pi Day. And we actually had a nice discussion yesterday on Mac Geek Gab about how tau, which is double pi, is perhaps arguably more important than pi. But that doesn't change the fact that today is Pi Day. And so I thought, well, it would be cool to be able to say Happy Pi Day to someone via text on my iPhone. And then I realized I scrolled through the emoji list on iPhone and no pi there. And so I started thinking, okay, how else can I get this symbol on here? And I, of course, you can just go on the web and find someone else that's used the symbol and copy it and paste it, and then that'll work. But how do you generate it, out of whole cloth, as it were? And so the pi, of course, is a Greek letter. Aha, we have a Greek keyboard available to us on our iPhone. We just need to add it. So you go into general or settings, general, and into keyboards, and then keyboards again, and you can add keyboards. This is where you'd add third-party keyboards for various things, and of course, any of the built-in keyboards, of which Greek is one. So you add the Greek keyboard, then you go back to your favorite texting app, be it WhatsApp or iMessage or whatever you want to use to text securely. And while you're typing, switch to the Greek keyboard by hitting the little world icon or globe icon, I guess is what it would be, in the lower left of the keypad. You might have to cycle through a couple and skip past your emoji keyboard, and suddenly you'll be there on the Greek keyboard, and towards the upper right, boom, there's pi.
All right, here's an add-on tip for you. Instead of having to tap to cycle through, tap and hold, and you get a pop-up menu showing all of your keyboards, and you can just choose from there.
Totally makes sense. Of course. Of course.
Yeah.
So that's how you add pi.
That's awesome.
But it's also, you know, it's one of those tips that is hopefully reminds all of us that we can think out of the box on this stuff, right? There's all kinds of other keyboards on iOS that have all sorts of other characters. And guess what? You know, you can have access to those. It's not that difficult. And you're really not going to get yourself into too much trouble. I mean, I don't speak Greek. I don't read Greek. It's all Greek to me. But you know, like you said, if you get yourself into trouble, you just hold down or tap on that thing and cycle out of that keyboard, and then you're back to, it's not like you're going to turn off your English keyboard or whatever language you choose. So you can always just tap once and you get back home. So yeah, it's good stuff.
I'd like to point out that actually physically hurt me.
Oh, but it was really funny and perfectly timed.
Yes. Well played, sir. Well played.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, we're pretty much out of time, so I guess we need to wrap up. Dave, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. Fun one.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Brian, thank you for being here.
Yep.
And I do appreciate the fact that you really were such a trooper. You're just here even when I didn't even ask. What a guy.
Giddy up.
Yes. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.